Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. I would also like to extend just a heartfelt welcome to each and every one of you this morning, especially our guests. We trust that you would all feel blessed as we gather and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning. As we are on the ending of 2023, and as the Lord willing, will usher in 2024, and we trust that that year is just within his hands. Whatever he has for us, may he be glorified. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to continue throughout the Gospel of John. We will finish up John chapter 10 this morning. We'll be reading John 10, 22 to 42. In the last sermon in John, we saw Jesus portrayed as the good shepherd. Today again, we will see Jesus conversing with the Jews, with the Jewish leaders about his identity and who he is. In their discussion, Jesus gives them a few important distinctives of his relationship with his own, namely his sheep, to verify for them who exactly he is. And again, their response is unbelief. They want to stone him, and they want to arrest him. This morning's passage teaches us about one of the key doctrines in the Christian faith. It is the biblical doctrine which gives us hope, peace, and assurance. Although there have been some who struggle with this doctrine throughout the church age, with this doctrine we must trust what the Word of God says, and we must trust Jesus' own words, as we'll see this morning. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If ye called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond the Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Thus far, may God bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? God, we come to you at this time and this morning, thanking you for your goodness, the goodness of the land we live in, a land of plenty, a land of peace. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the Christmas season that we've been able to celebrate with so much and with family. This morning, God, I pray that you would help us just to lay aside any concerns that may be occupying our mind. We pray that you would give the eyes of our understanding enlightenment in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. John opens the passage with disclosing the time, the place, and what feast is celebrated. As Jesus is walking in the temple, in the porch of Solomon, or you could say the colonnade of Solomon's temple. Now the colonnade, or the porch, was a row of columns supporting a roof. Supposedly it was on the east side of the temple, and its length was approximately 200 yards long. Jesus is in Jerusalem at the temple. It is winter. It is the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication, or what's also known as the Festival of Lights, was not an Old Testament feast. This feast originated during the time between the Old and the New Testaments. Today it is known as Hanukkah, which is celebrated in the month of December. A man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes IV, whose name means God manifest, was a Greek, and he was successor of Alexander the Great. He captured Jerusalem in 167 BC. He desecrated the temple by offering a pig as a sacrifice on the altar in the temple. Now you can imagine what the Jewish response would have been like when they witnessed that. It was during that time that there was a Jewish revolt led by a man by the name of Judas Maccabees. And although the Jews were outnumbered, they regained control, and due to that, an 8-day celebration was held due to their victory over Antiochus Epiphanes IV and his men. It was decreed that an annual celebration be held each year to commemorate the Lord's victory for them. In a nutshell, that's how we have the Feast of Dedication in our text this morning. But anyway, this is where the Jews surround him. And they wanted to know if he is the Christ or not. Obviously, this has been weighing on them. They didn't want an answer that kept them in suspense any longer. They have, according to them, have been in suspense long enough of who Jesus is. If you are the Christ, they say, tell us plainly. They claim that they can handle a straight answer, but as we'll see, they can handle no such thing. Jesus answered them, I told you, and he says, you do not believe. Now, on the one hand, Jesus was careful who he told who he was, plainly. He told the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. He plainly told the blind man whom he had just healed in the previous chapter. Jesus was careful who he told who he was, or whether he was the Christ or not. But on the other hand, the Jews in John's gospel account were told many times who Jesus is. Jesus said to Nicodemus that the Son of Man has descended from heaven in chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus referred to God as his Father, which made the Jews realize that he was making himself equal with God, John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Jesus asked them, what if you see the Son of Man ascending where he was before, in John chapter 6, verse 62. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, John 8, 58. And there's many, many other instances where Jesus shared his identity. It's not that they haven't been told. There's plenty of evidence of who Jesus is. The problem is, they don't believe. The works that Jesus does in his Father's name bear witness of who he is. Even if Jesus wouldn't have told them anything about who he was, his works declare who he is. He had just healed a man born from blind from birth, a miracle unheard of. Not to mention all the other miracles that he had done. Sadly, when someone is on a quest to find God, whether genuine or not, it's like they need this heavenly voice to thunder out from the heavens and say, here I am. Meanwhile, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day unto day pours out speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Psalm 19:1 and 2. Creation itself plainly manifests that there is this master designer behind it all. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 verifies that very clearly. Now, Jesus takes it a step further for them, and he tells them the reason that they don't believe. He says, it's because you're not of my sheep. Therefore, you can't believe. Earlier, Jesus had given them this clear illustration of him being the good shepherd and his sheep knowing his voice. And not only giving life to his sheep, but laying down his life for the sheep. And here Jesus says, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. Those who are requesting him to tell them plainly who he is are not his sheep. If they were his sheep, they wouldn't be asking that question. They wouldn't be asking that question because his sheep know him. They know his voice. And Jesus knows them. And they follow him. Clearly, they are not his sheep. Rather, these friends are the wolves. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Usually, the emphasis is placed on us knowing God. However, the scriptures also speak of God knowing us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 says, but you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. While we are to know God, it is much more of a concrete truth when God knows us. Known by God, friends, is our true identity. We really know ourselves when we see ourselves the way our Creator sees us. You know, this past week, my wife and I did a little shopping in Midtown Plaza. And friends, there is an identity crisis out there. It is sad. Known of God means God knows everything about us. He is watching us with care. He is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, even when we don't feel him. Jesus says, they follow me. Again, pointing to the shepherd and the sheep. They do not go ahead of the shepherd. They follow. The shepherd leads and the sheep follow. It must be this way because the sheep don't know where they're going. They need a shepherd to follow. They follow the shepherd wherever he goes. Friends, are you willing to follow Jesus wherever he goes? He has traveled the path of sorrow and suffering. Are you willing to follow the same footsteps of Jesus? He has gone through the valley of the shadow of death. Are you willing to endure whatever and what and wherever he leads you through? If your answer is no, friends, then you are not worthy to be his disciple. Following has the idea of obedient submission wherever he leads us and whatever he takes us through. And the fact that he is leading us is what makes the pathway glow, friends. No matter how dark, no matter what the circumstances may be, Jesus is asking his sheep to follow. And we realize this morning, there's many with health issues, struggling with health issues this morning. And I urge you, keep your eyes on the Lamb, the shepherd. And friends, what Jesus says next should give us great boldness to follow him wholeheartedly. Because he gives eternal life. And he says, and they shall never perish. Eternal life. Life everlasting. Life without end. This is the doctrine of eternal security. which stems from the doctrine of election and extends to the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints means that all of those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, who have been born again from above, are kept, not by our own power, but by God's power. And we will persevere until the end of our lives. And Jesus will make sure of that. Even though Satan hurls his darts at you, God has you in his hand. Eternal life is a settled matter in this life. You could argue maybe in eternity past. It is for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, who has paid for the penalty for our sin. Eternal life is given to us by Jesus, who purchased us with the blood of his cross. Once you have received it by faith, you will, friends, you will never perish. Never. You are kept by the power of God. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, Jesus states. Jesus affirms that we are held safely in his hand. And if that's not enough, friends, then he takes it even a step further, and he takes it as far as he possibly can, you could say. He says, my Father, which have given them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Friends, there is no force, there is no power greater than God, and he will keep his own. Not the devil, not a demon, not the Antichrist, no one can take us from God's hand. We can have the peace that we are in God's sovereign and almighty grip. And friends, he will not let go. And therefore, we can follow him with confidence. And that we, as the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and he will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's why he keeps us, for his glory and our joy and our peace. But ultimately, friends, may we never forget this. It is for his glory. If you have ever wondered if you can lose your salvation, then here's your answer, along with many other passages in the Bible. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If people who once confessed to believe and then over time walk away from the faith and deny it, proves that they were never saved to begin with. 1 John 2:18 and 19 states that. Friends, God held you in 2023, and God's going to hold you, rest assured, in 2024. After Jesus states that he will keep his own, he says that him and the Father are one. They are not just one in purpose, though they are that, but they are one in essence. They are perfectly united in the work of saving and preserving their sheep. There is the answer for the Jews who he is speaking with. And he's speaking, friends, very plainly. It is obvious that they cannot take the truth because their response is to take up stones and to stone him. Jesus has shown them many good works from the Father. His question now for them is, which of those good works do you want to stone me? They answer back, it is not for the good works, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. They have it reversed. He is God, and he has become man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If they cannot grasp that truth, they are bound to stumble in whatever Jesus has to say again, because they are not his sheep. They do not know his voice. They do not understand his words. In order for Jesus to be the suffering servant, he had to become man and die. Now Jesus takes them to the Old Testament, Psalm 82, verse 6, where he quotes to give his argument to them. He emphasizes to them, you notice, your law, he says. The law that they are bent on keeping meticulously on an outward appearance, yet their hearts remain unchanged. Now Jesus is not distancing himself away from the law when he says your law, but he is separating himself from their interpretation of the law. Ye are gods. In the context of the Old Testament quote where Jesus is quoting, many believe that gods refers not to the divine beings, but to judges who administer God's justice. So the word gods, small g, was not just applied to the Lord God himself. Well, Jesus' point is, if there was a scripture reference in the Old Testament reference to the word gods applied to others, how much more is the term appropriate for him who truly is God? And Jesus backs up this claim by a very bold statement, and he says this, and I love this, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Here we have again Jesus' high appreciation and approval of the Word of God. They cannot be broken. They are binding. No amount of unbelief from man will in any way thwart what the Bible has to say. It will not diminish truth. It will not be altered. Man may try, but to no avail and to his own destruction. What God has determined to come to pass within the scriptures will come to pass. It has proven itself truthful ever since Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and most definitely in the fallen world, Genesis chapter 3, chapter 3. The Bible, friends, is to be read. It is to be studied. It is to be taught. It is to be obeyed. And it is to be treated with reverence. It is the Christian's highest authority. We can be absolutely certain that what God has said in his word, he will never act contrary to it. Never. So when Jesus says that my sheep will never perish, you can count on it. His sheep will never perish. Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. We must have, friends, the same high view of Scripture as our Lord does. He will keep his word. Though everything around us is subject to change, including heaven and earth, the one thing that we can be certain about is that God's word will not change. It is what we base our faith on, and we can and should do with complete confidence. Again, Jesus declares that the Father sanctified or consecrated and sent him into the world. When Jesus said that, they would have been reminded about the feast that they are celebrating. A consecration of the altar that replaced the one that Antiochus Epiphanes IV desecrated when he offered a pig on the altar. In being set apart, Jesus far exceeds the altar in the temple. And in mercy, Jesus appeals to them to believe in the works that he is doing. He says to them, if I am not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe me. He says, but if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Jesus is asking them to just take a minute, take a step back, and look at the big picture here. Consider the works that I am doing, and you be the judge if they line up with what he says. The Jews' unbelief here is in no way justified, because Jesus is backing his claims with his actions or his works. According to Jesus, it is his union with the Father that he is performing the works that he does. His works match up perfectly with the character of God the Father. Works like healing the man born blind, the lame man at the pool, water turned into wine. Even if the people are going to be skeptical of who Jesus claimed to be, they should at least be convinced by the signs that he performed. They should believe his works up to this point. Because in chapter 11, Jesus is going to perform an even greater sign that backs up his claims of who he is. In fact, that he is the Son of God. Again, they have their minds set on arresting him. But he escapes from their hands because his time is in his Father's hands. Now it says that Jesus resorts across the Jordan River where John initially was baptizing. And there he remained. It seems Jesus departed Jerusalem due to the ongoing and increasing threats of the Jewish leaders. And as I was studying this, when I came across this verse, I couldn't help but wondering what Jesus must have been feeling. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. In his humanity, the hurt, the pain of rejection may have taken its toll at this point. Here he is at a safe distance from the control or the jurisdiction of the Jerusalem leaders. Maybe he went to where John was baptizing at first, maybe to reflect on how many people repented of their sins and how fruitful the ministry looked. At a glance, please listen carefully. At a glance, and if one is not careful about the true meaning of the mission of Jesus, there are times that one may think that his mission failed because the Jewish leaders didn't believe, and you would have think that it would have started with them. However, friends, Jesus' mission was a complete success. He came to die for his own sheep. And not one will be lost. He makes that very clear. He prays this in his high priestly prayer in John 17, 12, and 13. The passage opened with the Jews asking Jesus to tell them plainly who he is. I want us to notice verse 25 in our text. And Jesus answered them. Look at verse 32, and Jesus answered them. Look at verse 34, and Jesus answered them. Jesus answered them three times. It's not that they were not told. It's that they don't believe. Which does not only apply to the Jews in Jesus' day, but to everyone. Any suspicions of who Jesus is has been answered by the written word of God. No one will have a valid excuse for unbelief. No one will have a valid excuse for not being Jesus' sheep. If Jesus was looking for a time alone, it didn't last long. It says that many came to him, and they speak within themselves, and they say, John did no sign. But everything that John said about this man was true. Just the fact that John did no miracles in no way diminishes John the Baptist's witness about who Jesus is. You think about John, what a preacher he was. Everything that he said about Jesus was true. That's a preacher. That's a faithful preacher. John said this, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John performing no sign is a clear contrast to Jesus performing signs. In the eyes of the Jews, one was not a prophet unless he could perform miracles. Ironically, here Jesus performs miracles, yet they want to stone him and execute him and have him arrested. It says that many believed in him there. Friends, are you there? Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you know his voice? And are you following him? Have you put your faith in Jesus? He is the only one that can save us from being eternally lost. And friends, may we reflect on his words throughout the days ahead. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one will pluck them out of my hand, and no one, he says, will pluck them out of my Father's hand. For that, may we be grateful. And for that reason, may we persevere with all boldness. Let's pray. God, we come to you at this time. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the promises this morning that we have found in your word. And we thank you, God, that you are faithful, that you will keep us to the end. And may that truth ignite a passion to live holiness for you, to live set apart from the world, to live for your glory. And Father, we thank you that we can face 2024 knowing that we are in your hand and that you are sovereign. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. O keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkens the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the skies. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. I believe sometimes we have a misunderstanding about the word perish. Like in verse 28 in our text, there's approximately 13 hours left in this year. You are not guaranteed that you will see the end of this year. You are not even, let alone seeing all of 2024. Whether you are faced with health concerns or you have never felt better in your life, if the Lord decides to tarry, we will all face death. Jesus' meaning of never perishing means you are kept, not from physical death, but from eternal death. And friends, I would far rather be kept from eternal death than physical death. Meaning that he will keep you in the faith. And he will bring you to your eternal glorious home, where you will be forever with the one who kept you on this journey and who will hold you until your last breath. But may we, friends, be faithful, because he's faithful. On behalf of my wife and myself, we want to extend just a happy new year to each and every one of you, and God's richest blessing. May you continue to live faithfully for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we bow for the benediction? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You are dismissed, and may God's peace and grace go with each and every one of you.